Years ago, a friend of mine invited me to go sailing with him. Now, something you need to know is that I know nothing of being on the water. My father, who was an engineer on oil tankers for 30 years, would not be proud of that fact. But a friend of mine invited me, and it sounded like a nice afternoon, so we headed out to the lake where I would be going sailing for my first time. It was a beautiful summer day, hot with a nice breeze. And we got to the dock and loaded the boat, and we started sailing. And Jim is taking care of everything. He moves the sails, and the boat goes in one direction. He moves them another way, and we head off in another direction. And I'm fascinated by this because I've never been sailing before. And I'm asking questions out of curiosity about what he's doing. And Jim is talking with me, telling me about how to move the sails back and forth. And by now, we're in the middle of the lake, and the winds are a little bit stronger here, which is when Jim turns to me and says, "Your turn." "My turn? Do you want to drown?" I thought this was going to be a nice afternoon of hanging out and having a couple of beers. I get to sit back, get a tan, watch you do all the work. You didn't tell me I'd be sailing this thing. Before I knew it, I had the ropes in my hands, and the winds were getting windier, and the waves were getting wavier. And then the boom was coming around. You got to watch out for the boom, because it might knock you right overboard. And so we're out there, and the boat starts going this way and that, and I mean this way and that, and I'm holding onto this rope and leaning off the side of the boat, theoretically keeping it from capsizing. And the waves seem to be tossing us around at their whim. And Captain Jim is barking orders at me that seem to betray a sense of panic in his voice. It was all I could do to hold on to these lines, which were holding the sails, which were holding the wind, which was driving us further and further from the land that I desperately wanted to get back to. And I thought to myself, I'm only 24, but it's been a good run. Now, we're out there a couple of hours, and it took me about the first half hour to realize that I wasn't going to die. And I started feeling the water spray in my face, and it felt nice in the heat of the afternoon. The wind was whipping around us, and the boom was going back and forth, and an exhilaration swept over me. This is sailing. This is what happens when you put out into the water and raise your sails and let the wind take you. There's nothing like being on a sailboat to gain a sense of what the wind is all about, of what happens when you allow the wind to take you. When was the last time you let the wind take you? When was the last time that you stepped out of the security of the shoreline and let the wind take control? This morning, John tells a story about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a religious leader in Jesus' day. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, which means that Nicodemus has arrived. He's on the Supreme Court. He's gotten himself into the spot that any good person would wish to someday set themselves. And set is a good word. Nicodemus is set. He's set up for life. You know, that's an interesting philosophy that we learn when we're young, isn't it? Our parents talk to us a lot about getting set in life. It's how we're supposed to live the first part of our lives. We need to get good grades so we can get into a good college, so we can get a good job and make a good salary and find a good partner and have a good family. And we're to take that good salary and invest it in a good way, in order to have a good retirement fund that we can retire at a good age. This is what it means to get set, to live a good life. There was an expectation, at least when I was growing up, to nail down our life by the time that we were maybe 25 or 30 years old. Work hard, lay down the foundation, get our lives set. Those of us with children today get nervous when our kids have not found their way yet. They haven't launched, they haven't found themselves. And so John tells us that under the cover of night, Nicodemus slips out of a place where he has been set and clandestinely meets with Jesus, and he asks a question. And the question is a question that a lot of set people are afraid to ask. They may want to ask it, but it's a scary question. And they're afraid because it might mean that it's a different answer to their life than the one that they've always thought. It's a question that may unset you. Nicodemus asks Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old?" It's a good question. And Jesus says, "You must be born from above." And it's from there that Jesus begins to speak about the Holy Spirit. And that's when he starts to talk about the wind. If you want to know what it means to be born again from above, if you want to know what it means to be born after you have already grown old, let me tell you about living in and with the wind, or the Spirit of God. Let me tell you about surrendering yourself to the wind, surrendering yourself to the wind of God's Spirit. Because the Spirit is like the wind. You all know the wind. It blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it. But you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And Nicodemus says, "Oh, but you don't understand, Jesus. My life is set." Oh, Nicodemus, yes, I do understand. To be born again from above, you have to unset yourself. You have to push off from the shore. You have to hoist the sails. You have to surrender yourself to the mysterious movement of the Spirit of God. What an interesting invitation for us to hear on Confirmation Sunday. What an interesting invitation for us to hear on a Sunday when we focus on that part of the creed that says that we believe in the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, in a very real way, when you and I name our belief in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we may think that we are grounding ourselves, and to some degree we are. We are anchoring ourselves in the unique revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, when we say that we believe in the Holy Spirit, when we say that we are joining the church, when we say that we want to be born from above, it means that sooner or later we need to pull up our anchor. We have to push offshore. Maybe some of us thought that the church was a bunch of old people eating cheese and crackers on the deck. But now we've got Nicodemus asking, how can anyone be born again after having grown old? And Jesus says, I'll show you. Get in the boat. Hoist the sails. Let's take a ride. This isn't a pleasure cruise. This is the church. We're in the wind of God's Spirit now. We've pulled up anchor and it's going to get rocky, but that's okay. It's okay because we believe in the Holy Spirit. And if there's anything that the Holy Spirit will do, it will be to unset you. We all know it. It's happened throughout the church's history, even here as Presbyterians in America. It started a few centuries ago with those pilgrims, those Puritans, of whom we are so proud, who set sail into the winds of the Atlantic to find a new life and a new freedom. It continued with abolitionists a couple of centuries ago who set sail into the winds of racism and slavery. Even from this pulpit, there would have been calls for men to join the New Jersey militia to fight in the Civil War. It was in that same line 100 years later when in 1963 the March on Washington occurred. So convicted of injustice in this land that the pastor of this church, Reverend John Wilcox, got on a bus and joined that march, standing for civil rights, standing with the winds of resistance. It is why there is still a group studying the continued racism in our society to understand what still 55 years later needs to be done. It's why in the 1800s and through the 1900s we commissioned missionaries to set sail into the winds of foreign lands to bring the good news to the corners of the world. It's why in the later 1960s this church opened its doors and invited in demonstrators who saw a war in Vietnam as being unjust. Those peacemakers set sail into the winds of conflict and war. That's why a little over a year ago, we learned of a young man named Muhammad who somehow was freed from imprisonment in Syria, where he had been held to keep his father loyal to the Assad regime, and we helped relocate him, settle him in Patterson. It's why our Westminster Choir learned of the humanitarian crisis happening in the Arizona desert, where migrant workers searching for a new opportunity away from the conflicts of their country. And we're working with Tucson Samaritans on the humanitarian issue of people dying in the desert. And sometimes something as simple as a dry pair of socks can save a person from exposure. It's why this church has been a part of the covenant network of Presbyterians, standing up for those, the rights of those in the LGBTQ community. It's why young people go to Pittsburgh and help those who are elderly and economically disadvantaged rebuild their homes. It's why we support soup kitchens and Urban Promise and everything else that we do that deals with social issues in our society and in our world. And all these things, it is what the church does. It's what the church has always done as it has expanded its understanding of the gospel, of bringing good news to all people. At the beginning of his ministry, Luke records Jesus entering the synagogue and opening the Isaiah scroll and reading, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." What does that look like today? Is there still some risk that God has for you to take? Is there a stirring, a wind that is going on inside of you? Is there an urge to push off from the shore? Are there people in this world that you need to take a chance on? Oliver Wendell Holmes put it this way: "To reach the port of heaven, we must sail, sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it, but we must sail, not drift or lie at anchor." So are you set? Have you laid your anchor? Have you pounded down the stakes? Have you tethered yourself to the shore? Or dare we, like Brother Nicodemus, dare we ask, young or old, dare we ask the rabbi, "How can I be born again? I believe in the Holy Spirit." Amen.